You're listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 471.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoor Station and to part three of this seven-part series recorded during the 2018 TGO Challenge. As you heard during part two, I had finished the previous day with a really lazy afternoon, camped up not far from Coogee, sunbathing by a stream. This podcast covers day three and day four, where I meet up with the well-known Lee and Tony to form the Bob, Lee and Tony team, or BLT, as we later became known, on our way to Fort Augustus. I was still unaware that Andy, who was helping me create this podcast, had by now pulled out, and he must have been gutted that such a simple accident on day one had terminated his 10th challenge, something he'd been looking forward to all year. For more information, images and links associated with the TGO Challenge, please visit the website. There's a further 54 podcasts covering many years and many experiences in the free archives. Good morning. 7:30, Sunday morning. Hard to believe I spent most of yesterday lying in the sunshine. And last night was quiet, slept well, there was no wind, no rain. And the moment I woke up this morning and opened my eyes, 7 o'clock, it started to rain. And it sounds like it's in for a while looking out there. It's all grey and low. So I've decided what you normally do on a Sunday, and that's have a long lie in. I've only got 10k to walk today, so I'm not in any rush. I've had a cup of tea and a little pack of biscuits, tied me over, sat and read for a bit, and I think I might just rest my eyes and think about things while I wait for the rain to ease off. I could get up and get going, but if it continues raining, I've only got to put the tent back up in the rain again, so there is no rush. So I'll probably leave it till late morning before I actually do anything really enthusiastic and actually step outside the tent. Which Tim calls a marquee, actually. And I think that's pretty accurate, really. Everybody's got very small one-man tents, naturally, as I would have, to be honest, if I was doing the TGO with one of my portfolio of tents. But because we did the Sky Trail, Rose and I, we decided to take the F6 because it gave us space. And I'm just left with the F6 outer and a ground sheet. And I've got space for a party, which is good when the weather's like this. You're not cramped. I can move around should I need to. So a disappointing start to the day, but we'll see what happens over time, I guess. In the meantime, I'll just pull up this quilt and have a doze again.
It's no good. It's 10 o'clock. I can't take it any longer. I've got to get out and get walking. The rain has eased slightly. Like most times, it's not as bad actually outside as it sounds inside. But my enforced laziness can take it no longer. And I feel I should be out walking. I'm feeling guilty. So it was nice to relax yesterday in the sunshine, but relaxing in the rain is just frustrating. So it's pack up time. Just had breakfast, which is one of those extra large portions of instant porridge, and I made the mistake of putting too much water in there, and it turned into a slop, even though I added my dried fruit to make it interesting. And so I ended up drinking it out of a 900 pan, which was just plain silly. So I'm just packing away my down smock and Primaloft trousers, which are my tent camping gear, which is great to get into these because they're lovely and warm. You can just loll about in the tent and keep the warmth right through to when you go to bed. Either take them off or leave them on, as the case may be. I'm using an old Go-Lite quilt, actually. Go-Lite Ultralight three-season quilt, which is basically... It's actually the one thing about it that was fairly unique and in its day, and it still is, I think, when it comes to quilts, is that the material at the neck... I don't know why the neck, but the material at the neck and the foot are waterproof... quite waterproof, water-resistant, waterproof, and the rest of it is the normal sort of nylon, which helps really when your feet sometimes, obviously you slide down during the night and your feet hit the skin of the tent, and it saves losing all that lovely warm insulation at your feet, because obviously as soon as you get cold feet you really wake up quickly. So that was a nice touch, and as quilts go it's not bad. There are lighter ones and better ones on the market, but I didn't see any point in spending the money, to be honest. So I've deflated my Neo Air, which has given me quite a comfortable night's sleep. And, yeah, just pack it all down now, really. In fact, I've got so much space in here, everything's in the corner of the tent. It's like I'm trying to work out where everything is. Right, so, 10 o'clock. Should be... need to wipe the tent down, even though it's raining. I'll still wipe the tent down because it's an awful lot of weight in water. So I give myself 10 minutes and probably I should be on the road. And then I'll just be plodding along, really. I'm not in any rush. I have this guilty feeling I'm in the wrong place. I'm actually arranged to meet Lee and Tony somewhere else and I'm probably miles away. Not the 10 kilometres away that I think that I am. So I'll soon find out once I get over the top of this little hill. ...12:30... the sun has come out once again. The wind, not that there was much, has dropped completely, and I've made my way down from the moor. That's what, 4 or 5 kilometres... to the River Doe, and the River Doe was about knee deep, so I waded across there. So I'm heading down now to Sienna Croc Lodge, which from where I've crossed is about 4 or 5k, probably 4k, yeah, something like that. But it's an established track, presumably feeding one of the hydro schemes. There's a small building behind me at the bottom of the re-entrance. So I guess this is one of the hydroelectric schemes that have been cropping up all over rural parts of Scotland. As I say, the sun is shining. And thankfully it's a cool breeze, so it isn't beating down on me, but it's certainly very nice. Out of the wind, very nice, thank you very much. So I've got about a 4K... walk along this track, which is going to be easy. My alternative was to come down across the planted forestry area. They fenced it off. They've got a deer fence all the way around it, which doesn't make it very welcoming. There was a gate at the top, but I couldn't sort of discern any path that was established, so it would have been a bit of heather batching and boggy walking. So it was either a case of go through the gate, which wasn't locked to be fair, go through the gate and hope there was a gate in the diagonal direction of where I wanted to go, or come straight down the fence line and go across the river. And as I could see, the river was fairly shallow even from that distance. I thought I'd take the river and walk down this hydro track. Not much else to add, really. Good day, feeling good. It was nice to have a rest for a good few hours yesterday, but it was surprising. I was really getting itchy feet this morning after breakfast, thinking I've really got to get going. I feel guilty just sitting here. It's strange. It's the first TGO challenge I've ever done, and actually had several hours to sit still in the tent and just chill out. Normally seem to be stretching myself and overstretching myself and going too far and collapsing into the tent, not eating properly, and falling into a deep sleep. So I'm determined this time round, 10th crossing, to really enjoy the whole experience and the camping experience. And touch wood, so far so good. It has been interesting seeing a few of the first timers over the last couple of days committing exactly the same mistake we all make. Going too far on the first day, overshooting, and then all of a sudden missing out on what is really the purpose of the event, which is the sort of the meeting others and fellowship of fellow backpackers and sharing a bit of the way with them. When I get down to the road, I might wait for a bit, have a bar or something, see if Tony and Lee turn up. Otherwise, I'll start looking for the path to head up towards the wind turbines. Apparently, there's a nice spot that Tony thinks is going to be good, or has been before. Tony, of course, has done this 17 times, I think, something like that. I think Lee's on his 12th, 13th, 13th, 14th, probably. Anyway, when I've got something interesting to add, I will do so. Just after three now, and I've arrived at our agreed meeting place, which is Isan Ban Waterfalls. And it's a bit disappointing, to be honest. The weather is lovely, clouds in the sky, but blue sky, sunshine, so it's fairly warm with a cool breeze still, which keeps coming and going. You probably hear it on the microphone. And I got to the falls, dumped my bag, and I spent an hour walking round and round and round trying to find a place to pitch one, let alone three tents. And I've got one area here which is not particularly good for anybody, but it's the only area that I can find that's boggy free, that's without too many bogs. We're surrounded in bogs, and it's on a slope, and there's big lumps in it, whether stone or moles, presumably. It's one of those, we could probably pitch one tent on here if you're desperate, but not three. So I'm just waiting for the guys to appear. I'm looking down the track now at the bottom, so I'll see them once they come onto the wind farm track, past the main gate, and start to climb, providing they take the right track, of course. There's several to choose from, not on the map. I think I'll wait till they get here, because it may be that we push on another half a kilometre. Just looking at the tracks on the map, half a kilometre and come out the trees on the other side and hope for the best, I guess. But if it's all like this, it's a bit disappointing. And I'm sure the guys are going to be tired because they said 4 o'clock before they got to the gate, they reckoned. And it's obviously an hour away yet. So I think they're going to be a bit tired. So I'm in, I think it's Glen Morriston, across the River Morriston, and I've climbed up to Isan Ban Waterfalls.
Well, I'm giving you this update report from the relatively luxurious surroundings of the Loch Cowan Hotel, which is just down the road from Strathcavan. So we're back where we started. But I thought I'd just fill you in on our final day's walk out. We spent the night camped behind Bendronaig Lodge, and the next morning woke to a slightly mistier morning, but you could see that the sun was going to burn the mist off pretty quickly and that it was going to be another fine day. So off we set, and any notions that I had that my knee would have recovered soon vanished. It was pretty painful walking, not too bad uphill, not too bad on the flat, but very painful on any descent section. And indeed, as we hobbled off, I found myself falling again on a bit of stone, and this time banged my ribs a bit and hip a bit. So all in all, ended up quite a miserable day. That being said, though, you know, we made the best of the last day in the mountains. The track out to Atterdale House, the straight track, climbed for half the route, which was not too painful, a bit slow, but not too painful. And we did have at least some vestige of high scenery, high hills, and eventually a beautiful blue sky. And then we started a very slow and painful descent towards Atterdale House. Almost at the bottom of the descent, we met a local who spotted that I wasn't walking well, asked us where we were going, and I said to him, well, we weren't sure, but we knew there was a campsite at Loch Cowan, so we could at least regroup there. And as chance would have it, he was from Loch Cowan and said that he would ferry us in. So we did. He took us straight to the hotel, and luckily they had a room left, so we snapped it up and booked in quite quickly. One of the things that I suppose I hadn't thought of that much before was that it was only right at the end of that descent walk that we were able to phone Challenge Control and actually report that we'd abandoned. So, you know, the accident took place towards the end of day one, and it was towards the end of day three, in effect, that we were able to phone in and abandon the challenge. And, you know, I had a talk to Bernie Marshall there, who was the vetter for my route. And then we had a chat about pulling out. And he said very much the same as I did, that the last time that he pulled out of the challenge, he was worried that he might do more damage if he carried on. And certainly that is how I felt. So I don't think there's anything permanently wrong with the knee. I can feel some real tendon pain. It's a bit like a sprain, I guess. So I suppose we're going to have to just take it quietly for a few days or so. Now, we walked into the Loch Cowan Hotel last night, in fact. So this morning we've woken up and it's another gorgeous day. This must be the best start to a TGO challenge in years. Our little hotel sits right at the side of the loch and right opposite the track, the murderous track that we had to descend from Bendronaig Lodge. So it's so pleasant. I think we're going to hang around here for a day or so. And then think of some of the places to go and visit, and probably stay in Scotland for a week or so before we start to move back to Birmingham. So there you go, there's nothing for it. Really, this knee isn't up to walking far. I'm glad we made the choice that we did. I think on a shorter day, I'd have been tempted to push it and try and walk it off. But what I know now is that that would have been nigh impossible. So there you go. So that's the end of my challenge. So I shall leave you to in the comfortable and confident hands of Bob, and hope that he's still on target to finish his 10th challenge. So anyway, I hope to see you all again next year. Until then, cheerio, and I look forward to listening to the achievements and endeavours of others this year.
What time is it now? 5:40, and the two intrepid explorers now arrived. They haven't spotted me yet. And so once again, the three men from the Cairngorms are reunited. Took you long enough. Where have you been?
Oh, we ain't just come down the road, mate.
Where have you been today then?
Been up right up there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What, over the top? Bagging. Over the top of something?
Munro bagging. Yeah. Done 3 Munros this morning. Then we woke up. we've had a tough day.
Yeah, it's been tough going in places.
Yeah.
That's all I can find.
Yeah.
Is it? There's enough space there, but I've been up there, round the corner, over there, down there.
Well, we've seen a place back down by the
trees. Well, try it. It's a bit boggy. Yeah. I went down and had a look.
Do you want to have a look?
Let's have a look what's here.
I'll have a look at that, yeah.
Anyway, how are you guys doing? Had a good few days?
Yeah, we've had a brilliant time. No complaints.
Was the first day really windy for you?
Yeah, not
really. It was windy. Dusty, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Put the tent up.
Yeah, you
up.
Too.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, we got the tent up, we really started with a gust.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
And then about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Nice to see you, Bob.
You too, mate.
It just died down, didn't it?
Like,
as you may have heard there, Lee and Tony finally arrived, and thankfully, I didn't realise it. I thought they had Henry Shire's Scarp tents, but they've got the Notch, which is a slightly smaller footprint. After walking round and round in circles for a good half hour or so, they've both decided that where I pitched actually is probably the best place, and they've joined me. So they're just going through the usual camp admin and gone to get some water and things. So I'll have a proper catch up with them tomorrow. Interestingly, both of them are carrying Gossamer Gear rucksacks. And they bumped into Mr. Gossamer Gear, who's actually doing the TGO this year. And Lee's got one of the older Ripstop Dyneema ones, which looks actually brand new, which is amazing. I don't know where he got that from. I think eBay was that one. So they're both tired. I think they've had a long day today. So I won't sit down and have a chat with them and perhaps wait till tomorrow. And hopefully if this weather holds, which is fairly pleasant at the moment, light breeze. It's cool when the sun goes behind a cloud. But it is a blue sky and clouds, and we're hoping for a pleasant evening gossiping and catching up and chatting as old friends do, and generally taking the mick out of each other in a big style before setting down for the night and then heading off tomorrow to Fort Augustus. So we'll pick this up again probably tomorrow morning and we'll see what sort of night we're having, but fingers crossed it won't be too cold and it won't be too much wind.
This podcast is brought to you by BackpackingLight.co.uk, a small UK independent helping you save weight and enjoy outdoor life more.
Monday morning, 9 o'clock. The sun is actually shining, only a few clouds in the sky, very nice blue sky, great track underneath the foot. And last night, as you probably heard, I met up with Lee and Tony just by Eastern Falls, and we're heading towards Fort Augustus over a combination of old Land Rover tracks and new service roads, I think, for the wind farms. But once again, Tony and Lee have adopted their correct positions. Tony being the senior of the party, Lee being the carer for the community, and me being stuck in between getting all the jibes. But they've had a good few days. Let's talk to Lee first. Had a good few days, Lee?
Yeah, very good start. Good start, Bob. Yeah, comes through some lovely scenery.
Is that it? Okay. Lee is a man of few words. And how about yourself, Tony?
Yes, it's been a brilliant challenge so far. The weather's been fantastic. I've had a new few toys to play with, a new tent, a tarp tent notch. I got a new Mariposa rucksack. I got a new mug, insulate mug. That's brilliant. Do me breakfast in that and then just make me coffee in it. Everything's working fine, so I'm a happy chap apart from a little blister on my little toe, which I've had to fix this morning.
Well, certainly you're looking a very fit individual this time round. Do you think you've got yourself ready for this event?
Yes, well, now I'm a man of leisure, don't work. I've been training like mad. I've been on a diet. Don't eat on 3 days. Don't eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I've done that since January. I've lost nearly 2 stone. So I'm as fit as a fiddle for a 65-year-old. Can't complain.
And yourself, Lee, you don't do very much either, do you?
Not too much training. Probably once every 3 weeks I go out around my Rutland circuit. But working hard in the building industry, it keeps me naturally fit.
Yeah, a fine figure of a man. And naturally, obviously, with the weather changing, we will soon see that, I'm sure. I understand that you're also a Mariposa owner, but you've chosen a different purchasing route.
Yes, mine's a brand new Mariposa. I think it's probably the third generation from eBay. Brand spanking new.
The old ripstop Dyneema version.
Yes, excellent. Yeah, far better than me. Mark 1 that I had, and Mark 2. A lot more shape to it and a lot tougher. Very comfortable.
You certainly had a lot of use out of the ripstop one, ripstop 901, didn't you?
Absolutely. I used that for 10 years and that was excellent. Very comfortable. But sadly, it started to wear.
So it's my 10th. Your
14th.
14th. Your 19th?
My 19th, yes. 19th. And my last.
So I'm in safe hands with these experienced jockeys. And we're all staring at our phones every now and again just to make sure we know where we are. How technology has changed. It was only a couple of years ago we were concentrating on the maps. Now we've all got phones. You're finding it easier?
Well, it's certainly handy, I must admit. The VooRanger app is excellent, I must admit. But I suppose it takes the fun out of it sometimes. But technology's there, so you've got to use it.
Yeah. Well, as I say, it's a glorious day. I can see the track, the new track, heading off ahead of us. And we're about to use the technology, I'm sure, just to make sure it's the one that we want. Because these service roads for the wind energy farms have certainly grown and they don't appear on any of our most recent maps. Right. So I'll check in a bit later on.
I think it's left me. So I think that's going up to the hills.
And we are getting closer to Fort Augustus, it just doesn't feel like it. After probably, what would you say, 3-4 kilometres of heather bashing?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah. Pretty boggy heather bashing, there was no track to follow once we left the forestry road. We eventually picked up the old military road, but that wasn't before we had to find a way through a deer fence, which was relatively newly constructed. But we managed to spot what looked from a distance to be a gate, but in actual fact was a gate-sized opening which was all wired closed, so we had to unwire it and then go through it and then close it again and rewire it, which is a bit of a pain. Then the stream, the burn, sort of meandered and zigzagged, which was actually quite pleasant really, it wasn't too bad going, before we found the old military road, which has now been bulldozed over once again by the forestry and the Pyland people, energy suppliers, whoever they are.
and we're trying to work out which is the easiest track to get down to Fort Augustus. So we've zigzagged a few times and had to cut through the dead heather and tree stumps to get from one track to the next, but we feel we're getting closer. The boys can smell beer. I take it beer's on the menu today.
Beer is definitely on the menu, and chips, and fish and chips, and crisps, and chocolate.
You're fantasising now, aren't you?
Yeah, all the things that you like, Bob.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Well, I need to anyway, because it's my hip belt's starting to slip, so I've been told I've got to fatten up. But a very pleasant weather to be walking in. Nice sunshine, but with just a cool breeze just to make you feel comfortable. But as soon as the breeze stops, it can be a bit hot, can't it?
Yeah, it is a bit warm today, which is, we shouldn't complain about it, should we? But as you said, there's a nice breeze, so it's not so bad at all.
And these guys have got five-star accommodation tonight and left me to struggle to find some basics. But they keep telling me about their luxurious deep baths they're going to have and three or four course breakfasts they're looking forward to. So I shall be one of those people standing outside the hotel window, tapping on it, see if they can slip me out a secret bacon sandwich in the morning so I can make it up the hill tomorrow. Anyway, I'll probably do a report a bit later on, but as I say, 1:15 now. Actually, fairly pleasant walking, just occasional navigational challenges.
Four:30, and we finally made our way down to Fort Augustus, and I have got myself into a room which was booked at Morag's Hostel, which appears very nice, very well organised and put together. A room of six, and it would appear I'm sharing with three other people, so they've put four in the room, all of which appear to be challengers, although one I've just noticed has got the shell from the Camino, so it looks like he's done the Camino Santiago. So it's a case this evening of regrouping and recharging batteries, and come 7 o'clock, 7:30, I'm going to pop down to the Lock Inn and join a good handful of challengers for a night of entertainment and a good meal, hopefully, before crashing out tonight. Breakfast tomorrow is either 7:30 or 8:30. Apparently they have a big party in around 8 o'clock which is going to take all the space up, so I'm not too sure what's going on then. And then I've already done some shopping and picked up lunch and various nibbles and things, plus the parcel that I'd sent here ahead for tomorrow and the next day. We've got heading up the Glen Doe past the reservoir to Challey Beat tomorrow, then over the top to what we know as Hagrid's House the following day, and then down along the glen that we've walked many times before to Aviemore. The weather forecast is still fairly positive and bright for the next few days, so it could be a very, very hot climb tomorrow, which is something a little bit concerned of, so I actually bought up a small tub of suntan cream to ease any bare bits, really. But certainly caught the sun today on my arms and my head, and as I have very little hair on my head, I need to make sure I keep that well and truly protected. So that's our news today. Lee and Tony, I think, have found their bed and breakfast they booked some time ago, and I understand most of Fort Augustus is fully booked today, so people coming down that haven't booked are probably going to struggle, and it's such a shame that the campsite is currently closed and it's unknown what's going to happen with it, which is a real shock to the system. However, I'm sure it will change over time, and in the future things will improve. So just going to put my head down for a bit and then pop out this evening and then pick up tomorrow morning. And that brings us to the end of part 3. Join me for part 4, which covers day 5, 6 and 7, and hear some of my reflections on walking through, well, a building site of almost 100 wind turbines. Glen Doe, once the perfect showcase for wild remoteness that is the Monalea, is now nothing but concrete and metal. Don't forget to visit theoutdoorstation.co.uk for more information relating to the TGO Challenge, and other wide and varied podcasts, and please join our newsletter while you're there to get advance notice and news of things happening on the Outdoor Station, which are coming soon. So, until then, folks, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorsstation.co.uk.